Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Now, I won't give too much away about today's guests and their story, but it's fantastic. The point of it is a kind of a health crusade, a very good, worthy mission to get people tested for a hereditary strain of an illness. However, the story itself is like a movie, and it has fascinated those of us who know it, and it takes place from Tipperary to Florida and Laois. But I don't want to ruin your surprise by giving it all away too much too soon, basically. But 51551, by the way, is the text. Now, the 45th and 47th President of the United States, he gave his address to the Joint Houses of Congress last night. And if this man is an expert in anything, he's proven it's engaging in Congress. Yes, Stephen Colbert, chat show host, he called it the big address by the White POTUS. That's what he's taken to referring to him as. Are you still watching that TV show, by the way? Three episodes in, and it's starting to feel as long and dull as this particular speech of Mr. Trump's, which started late, in fact, and lasted almost 100 minutes, which broke the record for the longest address by a president to Joint House of Congress, a record set by Bill Clinton, no less. 1 hour, 29 minutes, he managed in the year 2000. And last year's address by Joe Biden just went over an hour. Oh God, that feels like 25 years ago since Joe Biden was around. And it's the history of address. They've only started recording them, I think, timing them really since the 60s. Reagan did a 31 minute. That's nice. Nixon's was 28 minutes. Well, he had to get the hell out of there, didn't he? And what else do you need to know? Well, Elon Musk was obviously there. And in the run up to the speech, he rode in the presidential car inside the actual, in the Beast, with Donald Trump and his wife, Melania, from the White House to Capitol Hill. Just the three of them in the cart. That's a whole lot of thruple happening in there, I would say. Also noteworthy, Elon Musk wore a suit, which is very rare for him to do. And wearing a suit in Congress was followed all the days of attacks on Republican media for Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine for not wearing one to the Oval Office on Friday. And all the coverage ignored, of course, Elon Musk's sort of hangover look that he seems to don at cabinet meetings, and also when he's standing next to the Resolute desk in the Oval Office with a baseball cap on indoors. But that sort of thing is generally tolerated in America, the kind of hat on indoors thing. We'll never understand them. The Democrats, what would they do during the speech? They kind of underlined their weakness, I suppose, with a few watery protests. Some of the women wore pink pantsuits. Some people walked out, which wasn't noticed by a lot of the media. And they held up these weird auction-like paddles, which had kind of false or lies on them during the speech, but it just looked like they were kind of bidding for some of the furniture in the room or for the last remnants of what this great party, the Democrats, used to be. As I say, some of them left. One of them heckled and was actually removed. But overall, you've seen stronger opposition when Dublin's playing Wicklow in the Leinster Championship. The professional Trump hater and talk show host Stephen Colbert, he addressed that matter of who this lone heckler was.
All hell broke loose. Democrats stood up, started booing. Speaker Mike Johnson threatened them with expulsion if they didn't sit down. And ultimately, Johnson called in the sergeant at arms to remove 77-year-old Texas Congressman Al Green. Now, some people have questioned why so much muscle was needed to remove one old man with a cane. But it turns out it was for a serious reason. When security searched him, they found that he had smuggled in a spine. It's dangerous. You can't have that.
You shouldn't have that. Trump, by the way, during that was saying nothing he could say would make the Democrats happy ever. Although maybe if he tried saying, you know, I'm leaving office to spend more time with my much beloved Vlad Putin, snuggle up to his bare chest on the horseback, I think they would manage to crack a smile and fist bump each other out. Even Bernie Sanders would smirk if that was the outcome. In the speech, by the way, you've heard maybe some of it already in the bulletin there. Trump read out the Zelensky letter that said Ukraine is now ready to sign that deal that gives the rare earth minerals like the Ukrainian version of Tanora and TK Red Lemonade, just handed straight over to Trump as payback for the US funding and the weapons to help him fight the Russian invaders. But he did sound a far less belligerent note there than the row a couple of days ago. He also listed out his various claims of achievements in office so far. He got massive ovations and shouted cheers, applause from the Republicans Republican side, except for one part. I noted the Republicans showed kind of tacitly that they don't support his trade war plan because the tariffs had now gone on Mexico and Canada and are coming soon to an EU near you. And they give a very muted response, almost silence, to that part of his speech about tariffs on his allies. Jimmy Kimmel, the Trump hater on the Californian side of the country, he gave his assessment of the night.
He laid out his MAGA agenda for the next 4 years. They include wildly unpopular tariffs, abandoning our allies, buddying up to Russia, tax cuts for the rich, and turning Gaza into Atlantic City. All the reasons blue-collar America voted for this man. Trump said, our momentum is back, our spirit is back, our pride is back. And not the gay kind either, the regular pride. What he's talking about, I have no idea. The stock market's down, consumer confidence is down, the dollar is down. The only things that are high are egg prices and Elon Musk.
High on the fumes from the beast, we would say. The presidential motorcade lead vehicle. And heavy on the sarcasm there. To end, then, kind of Trump announced he's launching a new office of shipbuilding. And if there's one thing he's going to do upon leaving office in 4 years' time, he'll leave a big pile of ship for the next guy to look after. And how did it go down in general? A CNN snap poll said roughly 7 in 10, 66% I think I heard earlier, 7 in 10 speech watchers said they had at least a somewhat positive reaction to Trump's address to Congress. And his approval rating, according to CBS, is now 51%. It is slipping, but it's still in positive territory for him, and because his rating was 34% at the end of the first term. So that means he's still popular. Another noteworthy moment, his strongest words yet on his plan to annex or purchase or invade or do something to Denmark's big island up there at the North Pole.
We also have a message tonight for the incredible people of Greenland. We strongly support your right to determine your own future. And if you choose, we welcome you into the United States of America. We need Greenland for national security and even international security. And we're working with everybody involved to try and get it. But we need it really for international world security. And I think we're going to get it. One way or the other, we're going to get it.
Who's security? Everybody's security except Greenland, I presume. Well, because the polls there have shown they're absolutely like 80-90% opposed to forming part of the US, especially with the US forming an alliance with Russia. And Greenland, I'm sure, would feel a little bit vulnerable sitting out there in the ocean. And by the way, just so we can't be stand accused of only focusing on the areas of contention for the Prez, quietly around the place you find evidence of his success in a key area which he trumpeted last night, and it's on immigration. And just kind of summing up a few things I've been reading across the New York Times and BBC and other places, there is this incredible, extraordinary, dramatic fall in the numbers entering the US illegally since Donald Trump came back to power. Illegal border crossings went to record levels under Biden. You had 2 million a year between 2021 to 2022, 2023. And in the worst period, which is a full year before Trump returned, migrant crossings at the southern border, America to Mexico, surpassed or neared 10,000 every day, which of course overwhelmed the border agents in Arizona and Texas and places like that. So it's now March 2025. Customs and border agents said they apprehended only, remember it was 10,000 a day. They got only 200 people at the southern border in the final Saturday in February. It's the lowest single day number in over 15 years. And this morning, the BBC says the number of migrants crossing from Mexico fell in February to the lowest level in 25 years. So you'd go back to Bill Clinton's last few weeks in office to find the lowest levels there. Overall, border numbers coming over have fallen 90%. And it has to be due to that hardline stance taken by Trump and the high threat of deportation, and also the Mexicans who have been there. The Mexican authorities themselves are preventing people going over the border as part of the attempts to prevent tariffs, although that's happened anyway. And also inside America, of course, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents continue to arrest and detain suspected undocumented people. 20,000 a month are being arrested, which is exactly in line with Joe Biden's figures for 2024. It's nearly 120,000 in the full year. And Trump is very annoyed at what he's called the slow pace of arrests and detentions. In fact, a couple of officials at the Immigration and Customs Agency have been fired. But overall, these are very good things for Trump. And his speech was peppered with anecdotes. It was a very clever thing to do about regular people who he says have benefited from his time in office. There was also a lovely story. He offered a surprise to a child diagnosed with brain cancer. This was 13-year-old DJ Daniel, who's dreamt of being a fire or of being a policeman all his life. And he was held up by his father, and Trump announced that he would be sworn in by his new Secret Service director as a member of the force. So the child, and it's very cute. He was absolutely stunned look on his face. He got a Secret Service badge from one of the agents who rushed onto the stage to protect Trump during the attempt on his life last July. It was a very sweet moment. And even some of the Democrats joined the Republicans in a standing ovation for that child. So that's what's been going on over there at the moment. Now, back home here, there's some good news for the Irish people and our life expectancy here. People in Ireland have a longer life expectancy than the English, Welsh or the Scots. We do like to beat them in various things like rugby, but life expectancy was not something we anticipated. Life expectancy here in 2019 was 82 years compared to 81 roughly in England, 80 in Wales and 79 in Scotland. And this is a study that has looked at the largest decline in life expectancy improvement is in England. And this is very much measured against the drop in living standards across Britain for Brexit, most notably in the poorer parts of England. And there's also been a drop in life expectancy in the north. In this period they measured between 2011 and 2019, because they've separated north and south in this report. Lifestyles have been blamed for the slowdown. I think it's to do with basically things like smoking, diet, drinking and not getting the jab against the flu, bizarrely, is one of the things they've said in this science media centre that's come out on this report. So Irish people living longer than our British counterparts. Not something you'd be fist pumping into the air about, especially when it's our friends in the north as well, on this side of things. But it is good news for the Northerns. Looking at the Irish news this morning, and Elton John has been out doing a podcast. Elton John is famous for listening to new music as often as he can. He spends his Fridays getting CDs from record companies and going through who's hot and who's not in the music scene. And Kneecap have caught his ear. And he's been a long-time fan of Fontaine's DC, but it was just interesting to hear him talk so passionately about Irish music and how good it is at the moment. He praised Kneecap particularly for being political with the music. And he spoke his admiration for Kneecap, of course, a bilingual, English and Oscoelga. Said the great energy and vitality. And it's just high praise. It kind of caps an extraordinary year for the three lads from West Belfast who do all the rapping with politically charged satirical lyrics and things we just could broadcast this morning. Who was he? He was speaking to Nick Grimshaw on BBC Radio 6 Music. Elton John is 77 and he's a big fan of the Irish lads, starting with Fontaines.
The Fontaines DC record was one of the records of the year without question. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see how they grew as a band. This is their fourth record. And Grian Chatney is, for me, a master leader mm-hmm. of a band. And they've made different records all along. Mm-hmm. And they've changed and changed. And this one was probably their most accessible record. And it will still be in the charts at this time next year because it's bloody great. Mm-hmm. And also he sung on the Kneecap song as well.
We've got to talk about Kneecap because I know you love them. We're such big fans of them. What was it that drew you to this record and made you fall for the Kneecap lads?
Well, I saw a video of them. And I just was so knocked out by the energy they had mm-hmm. And the vitality they had. And they were just, they're just extraordinary. And what they talk about is political. Mm-hmm. And there's not many bands that do that. So, yeah, I love them. I love the energy. I love everything about them.
So that seems like a good place to start for us this morning. A bit of Fontaine's DC. Hamanta played this for ages.